All right. Well, today we remember last week talking in Peter, talking about our inheritance and what it will be like, what is planned for us as believers. But today we're going to, how do we reach that goal, or what should we do to prepare ourselves to reach that? 1 Peter chapter 1, I'm going to read verses 13 through 16. It says, "Therefore, prepare your minds for action, be self-controlled, set your hope fully on the grace to be given you when Jesus Christ is revealed. As obedient children, do not conform to the evil desires you had when you lived in ignorance, but just as he who called you is holy, so be holy in all you do, for it is written, 'Be holy because I am holy.'" Peter is talking and even speaking to us today. Do you have to prepare yourself for anything in life? But do we actually prepare ourselves for what's coming? And we should.
That was a good answer.
But thinking back to Peter's days, but even thinking back to today, what we're remembering today that happened 15 years ago, did that incident in life changed you in any way? Did it make you stop and think any differently than maybe you were thinking? But you think about the people that we lost that day. They were not expecting that. They didn't know that was going to happen. Were their hearts right with God? Were there some that maybe planned to get settled with God but never did, and then this happened to them? But that's what Peter is trying to teach us. Do we need to be more serious about our thoughts and our actions than we really are? Because, I mean, even in the first verse, he tells the people there, and like, say, speaking to us, is we have to prepare our minds for action. We have to be self-controlled. Now, do we all have the same self-control that everybody else does? Because we'll get into a little bit more of that thought later in the lesson. But do we sometimes forget the words that are given to us and the promises that are given to us as to what's going to be available in the future? Either when our time comes, or when Jesus is revealed to us.
I think sometimes we take for granted, you know, because once saved, always saved.
Mm-hmm.
So I'm saved, so I can do my own thing, but I'm still saved. And I think, you know, people have a tendency to live their life that way. I am saved, I've made a professional faith, now let me move on.
I mean, we talked last week about grace, but talk about sanctification. What does that actually mean to us? Is it, I mean, like this writer points out, it's the beginning of a new, let's say, being regenerated in life. Because once you give your heart to Christ and you give your life to Him and you say, I'm going to follow Him in His steps, you're set apart to do His work. That's where He sanctifies us. But do we lose that walk a little bit sometimes in our lives?
When we're first saved, we're gung-ho, you know, we're excited. We're going to win the world, you know.
Mm-hmm.
And the longer that we're a Christian and we get involved in other things, that we lose that excitement, that, you know, we just kind of take it
for granted,
move on.
Mm-hmm.
Complacent. Mm-hmm. We kind of, it's sad to think that you don't worry about everybody else's salvation, because I already have it.
What about your neighbor or, you know, even your family member? Lord, you
sank
you back down and can't walk.
Make you wake up again.
Yeah. But in the verse 14 and 15 where it tells us once we make that choice, when we become obedient, it tells us do not conform or do not go back to your previous days. Or as the scripture says, in the scripture I'm reading here, don't go back to the desires of your former ignorance. But is that always a temptation? Is it always there wanting to bring us back? But it's telling us to be holy, set ourselves apart, and act or behave as God would want us to, or as Jesus did when He walked on this earth. Because the last of verse 16, it says, be holy because I am holy. But do we as Christians forget sometimes maybe those words, and even in our walk, our character slips a little bit, and we forget who we are, and we try to imitate Jesus or imitate the Lord's work, but we don't honor Him. We just put up a front. Because is there a connection between God's character and our conduct? Is there a connection between God's character? God's character and our conduct, the way we conduct our lives every day. We should be. Mm-hmm. But if we read on in verse 17, he says, since you called on a Father who judges each man's work impartially, live your lives as strangers here in reverent fear. Are we to walk around every day in fear? Do some Christians take it that far? That they're so afraid of doing something wrong, making a mistake, that gets in the way of them being a true example of what God would want them to be.
But if we're joyful in the Lord, then we don't have to be.
We shouldn't be.
Mm-mm. And I think we saw a sign of fear from 9/11. Mm-hmm. That changed. We're supposed to fear the Lord, but that's a respect fear.
Mm-hmm.
But I think in 9/11 we saw the true meaning of what fear is.
Mm-hmm.
In an everyday aspect, you know, because if it happened there, it could happen here. We all know, you know. And of course, the talk then was, where was it going to be next? This Air Force base, this, you know. So we saw fear then. In a different aspect than what, as Christians, the fear and respect that we have for the Lord.
Mm-hmm. But God's discipline in our life, does he judge me differently than he would judge Zeta? Or would he be more impartial to my actions than her actions? We're all treated the same. Now, this writer points out, it's like parents raising children. Do you treat each child that you have the same, or is there a circumstance sometimes where one gets a little more special attention than another does? Do we do that as parents?
But as parents, we all do, because I know, we've also, you love your children equally. He loves us equally.
Mm-hmm.
But you love your children differently because they are different. We made mm-hmm. them all different.
And
he loves us that way. He loves us all the same, but he loves us, in different ways because we are different people.
And their circumstances, yeah.
Yeah, different. And we might have different needs.
That's
you know,
fine.
One person may think this way, and one you kind of have to guide this one this way. And that.
Children are
right, no, they're totally different. And so some have to get, and even though you're impartial, you know, do it differently.
Look at we're so tired. It's so strong about their spiritual gifts. We all are different in what we can do, you know, and so he gives you, I guess, and more strength. But if you're an evangelist, then that's going to be, you know, he's going to really have to hone in on that. But he's going to make sure that as an evangelist, you're able to put out his word to where people hear it and receive it.
Mm-hmm. But do people take it that when they, the word fear, I mean, do some people take it literally that, I mean, I just dread getting up today because I don't know what's going to happen? But it's not meant that way. It should be a reverent part of our life and a respect for the Word of God that we carry with us. Because this writer points out a good thought. It is good and right for believers to be aware of offending God and incurring His displeasure. That's normal. That's expected. Then if we go in verses 18 and 19, he says, "For you know that it was not with perishable things, such as silver or gold, that you were redeemed from the empty way of life, handed down to you from your forefathers, but with the precious blood of Christ, a lamb without blemish or defect." Now, we talked some that last week, you know, Jesus. I mean, if we go back and think, and we may have touched on this last week, does it make you any stronger in your faith or in your walk that you know that God had it already planned to give His Son to die on the cross to save us from our sins? But what if, we talked last, what if that had never happened? But I guess what I'm trying to say is, do you think about it any differently? That He thought of that before we were ever considered. He already knew we were going to be sinners, but He made the ultimate sacrifice for us. Like we talked last week, we were not saved like, okay, I've got a bag of gold down here and I'm going to give it to somebody, or I'm going to share it with all of y'all, and y'all are going to protect me. That's not how we were saved. Death saved us. And thinking of it in that way, how many of us would be willing to do that to save others' lives. We go back to 9/11 again. People lost their lives, but how many lives were lost by other people trying to save people? How many were given up? Mm-hmm. That, and then we saw a clip on TV the other night. It was about the Pentagon and how the plane hit the Pentagon, and never knew how massive the Pentagon was, but there was a guy who, after it all happened, they had protocol they had to go through, but he remembers looking up at a window and seeing a group of workers, and he wanted to go in and try to save them, but he couldn't, because all he saw was fire, and he walked away. But then those people made it out, and then when they were united again, it was just, it just brings goosebumps on you. But, you know, there is a situation where somebody wanted to help another fellow person, and he felt bad that he couldn't.
Or not forget that 9/11 happened in our world, in our world.
Yeah.
That's right. But look at all the people that have protected us across the water in other lands to make sure that we have always said to have the freedom that we have.
Mm-hmm.
This has kind of brought it home.
I just thought we would cross the water and then it would happen over here now.
Exactly. That's what we thought.
I mean, we just let it slide. That's what we thought, you know. I mean, that's what I thought. You know.
Because, you know, part of a military life is putting somebody on a plane or a ship and sending them across the water, and then they get back on that same transportation and come home. And, I mean, this was like...
Like them 50-something sailors that sailed out yesterday.
Mm-hmm. Yeah,
On the new
Montgomery system.
Mm-hmm.
But you know, and you also brought up about us knowing from what God had already planned, because he knew we were going to be sinners. People over there, when Jesus walked, they didn't have the scripture.
Right. They just
so we studied the Old Testament so much, we see. It's so in the Old Testament, it reminds me, they knew what was coming. It was, you know, it was put out there. And then when you get to the New Testament, it's called like Paul Harvey. We have been able to see the rest of the story.
Mm-hmm. Have you ever heard anybody say or feel that my life is the way it is because of my predecessors? Because of my predecessors, my forefathers, people before me, that the actions that they did in their lives are affecting my life today. But that's not true. That's not true.
We have an opportunity to make choices.
Yeah. Yeah. And I bring this out lightly. It's, I had my cousin who was a pastor. He had a son who had some problems. And he just knew that the problems that his son was dealing with was a curse that was upon him. And the son got married, and baby was born or died. And he told his son, the curse is over. And that stuck with me. I don't see how you could say that when the Holy Word tells you that we're not bound to sins from previous generations. That's scriptural. But going forward, in verse 20, we've talked about that. He said, he was chosen before the creation of the world, but was revealed in these last times for your sake. It says, through him you believe in God, who raised him from the dead and glorified him, so that your faith and hope are in God. We touch on it again, that we know that Jesus' death was God's way, or his plan of salvation. But do we ever go back and think that God put that in place to be a real-time occurrence in history? He wanted it to happen at a certain time. Just like the second coming of Christ, we're not told when that's going to be either. I mean, we've talked about this before. What if we knew that? That December 31, 2016, everything is over. What would you do between now and December 31? Mm-hmm. He knows us before.
You know, his mightiness in scriptures like that, even though we don't think about, like you said, he's already planned the history part from Jesus' birth to when he died. Why didn't he leave him longer than when he did? Why didn't he stay longer? Why didn't he let him go further to other places? Why? I mean, there's so many questions, but he had it already planned for it to be over on a certain time.
Well, Mm-hmm. We knew God created everything. We knew he sent his son. We knew he raised him from the dead. Should it matter to us that he raised his son to sit at his right hand? What if he'd never done that? What if we had had Jesus' teachings all along, but we had never experienced his death and resurrection? Where would we be? Would we still, I guess the question is, would we still place as much trust in God without that happening as we do with it being present in our life?
I think one of the strongest things about your faith is that we do believe in the resurrection.
Mm-hmm.
That we were told here, and that it happened. It was something, and we're a society that if I want to touch things, I know that this is girl because I can look at it and touch it. Whereas a Christian,
we believe without seeing.
Exactly.
Mm-hmm. We talked about that last week.
Did get to see him. Touch him. And he was real. So, I mean, that made a difference in their lives.
God's plan was just perfect down to the people.
Yep.
And then
when you go back to it telling to fear God, is it a false claim? Or let me word it this way. Would it be wrong to say that we fear God, but we trust in Jesus?
They're both born of the Son.
Are they? I mean, that's what we've been taught. Because this writer, he makes a point, he says, Peter was making it clear that it is false to claim that we are to fear the Father, but trust in Christ. is he saying you don't have to look any further than Jesus to believe everything? If you stop there, are you still fulfilling his Father's works?
The Bible says you have to come to go through Jesus to
get to the Father. Mm-hmm. Because he mentions faith and hope, that faith is trusting him alone for salvation, and hope that we're confident in the trust that God will provide the promised inheritance beyond our earthly life. So, is there an importance to fearing God? Or is it should be, instead of fearing God, should we be more reverent towards him in our lives? Not walk around all drawn up that if I do this, it's wrong that he's going to put something else on me. That's not what he's saying here.
I've got relatives that don't believe in eternal security, and they have a fear because they're afraid that they're going to do something wrong, and if they don't get forgiveness of it, you know, just that split second, they're going to die and go to hell. And that's an awful thing, not to have that security.
And if you can teach respect and fear together, like you're.
Mm-hmm.
You teach them, you're going to teach them to swim, and they're great swimmers, but you're also going to teach them that just because they can swim, that doesn't mean they can't fight.
To be
fearful and respectful at the same time. Mm-hmm.
But if a Christian goes around fearful of everything,
they're not
going to see the fear in them.
And they're not going to want to live that life.
Mm-hmm.
Right.
And we talk so much and we encourage people to pray. Why would you pray if you help me, but yet I'm scared to death to do this? Mm-hmm. When part of praying is opening yourself up and asking for direction,
mm-hmm.
and him providing it, but yet still, I'm still scared about doing it, so I'll just sit down and not do it.
That's right.
Question says, what are believers to emphasize in relationship to other Christians? It comes out in verse 22. It says, now that you have purified yourself by obeying the truth, so that you have sincere love for your brothers, love one another deeply from the heart. For you have been born again, not of perishable seed, but of imperishable, through the living and enduring Word of God. When it tells you to love your brothers deeply, love one another earnestly, is that hard to do?
Sometimes.
But I mean, our hearts are pulled with that. We know I'm supposed to be compassionate. I'm supposed to have empathy. I'm supposed to care for others and love others. But when you, let's say, try and you do that towards someone and you still get rejected, it makes you want to turn and walk away. Is that wrong?
Well, the Lord says, dust your feet.
Move on. You can still pray for that individual, but you've done your best. That's the way I look at it. Because we finish up in verses 24 and 25, and we've all heard this before, it says, all men are like grass, and all their glory is like the flowers of the field. The grass withers and the flowers fall, but the word of the Lord stands forever. Best way I can relate to that is, when was the last time we had rain? Is your grass like my grass? Is it getting brown and withering away? But what happens when the rain comes? It nourishes and it flourishes again. That happens in our lives. What happens when we walk away from God and we turn our back on Him and we quit reading His Word and studying it and applying it to our lives? Do we wither? Do we fade away? Do we ever wake up and realize something's wrong? Do I need to change and go back to the way I was? All you have to do is come back to the Word of God and repent. We all know that. He's back on us. Mm-mm. And that's, is that, do you think that's hard for some people to fathom? That how, I mean, I've been horrible. I was once a good Christian, but I've just lived a horrible life. And you're going to tell me that He still loves me? You know, do you think people struggle with that as far as coming back to? He loves you. All right. Because last statement, it says, whatever glory humans have achieved will fade away. Only those who are born again will live with God forever. So, all right, lovely. Yes, ma'am.
Can I ask y'all something? Y'all heard that song, In the Eye of the Storm, by Ryan Stevens?
I may have.
You know, he was a paramedic, and he written that song because he's seen the worst part of people at their worst.
Really? I have to check that out.
It's a good song. I trust you, Lord. Say, trust you, Lord. It sort of reminds us how fragile people really are.
These are good lessons.
I know we took up a lot of time this morning, but we had to have a lot of stuff about how far we stray away and how that brought the United States together. And it was like we were one nation under God for a while, and we seemed to
drift away again.
Drift away and drift away.
You know what I have a hard time with is how service people are mean and mean. They go in and fight for this country and Washington in the mess it is, and then when they come back here, they can't even get a doctor. I don't even see how the men and women.
Well, that irritates me. I make them have the desire to.
You know, something that's really irritating me right now is the veterans that are having such a time getting into the VA and all that. But look, the money they're spending right here in Montgomery, putting up that big expensive fence in the VA.
Yeah, they haven't got doctors to staff.
And just like yesterday in the paper, I know all y'all seen it, this black man, two black men went to Washington. They worked in the coal mines in Birmingham. And one of them had worked 35 years, and they fixed him to cut out his pension and his insurance, and he's got stomach cancer. And they were in Washington. And that, I think, working in a coal mine would be one of the worst jobs in the world. And now the government's going to turn their pensions loose and take their pensions away from them and their insurance. He worked there 35 years, he said.
We have a crooked government, that's all I'm saying. Well, I don't trust it as far as I see it.
Let's just hope and pray there'll be a change.
Mm-hmm.
That's all I'm going to do is pray for our country.
The words of my mouth and the meditation of my heart be acceptable in thy sight, O Lord, my strength and my redeemer.
Y'all have a good week this week.